August 11, 2021, it's a Watt from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Started off with John Coltrane doing Naima live at Columbia. No. Comblain La Tour. This is a festival in Belgium, August 1st, 1965. So a little bit of a while ago. And then Simon Goff, with I filled my lungs with the necessary air and yelled. Yeah, I don't think you need a comma there, but it's okay. It's your song. You get the title. People, I'm not man alone. You can see I'm having a conversation because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got all the way from Kreuzberg, part of Berlin. Brother Simon Goff, welcome aboard, Simon.
Thank you. Hi, Mike. Nice to be here.
Absolutely. And we got to right away give big grazie thank you to Fratello Andrea for making the connect.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Great cat. Great cat. Now, I heard he's back from, he had vacation in Croatia, so now he's back.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday. He went for a nice walk with his little lady. Yeah, exactly.
It was like a year and a half. I think I said 6 months, but it was a year. You know, I've lost time a little bit because of the situation, like an idiot, but I'm getting it together. But I'm curious about your journey through music. So will you please bring your earliest musical memory you got?
Oh, this musical memory. Jesus, fucking hell.
Remember, it's the Watt for Pedro show, so there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Sure. No, of course. No, I mean, I guess learning the violin when I was a kid will be my first ever musical memory. Playing at school, having a school teacher, going to class once a week to learn to play the violin.
I'll be the oldest.
Yeah.
And where was this?
This is in North Yorkshire in the UK.
What, by Leeds?
Yeah, just north of Leeds.
Yeah, I remember Duchess of York.
Yeah, man.
Right? There was a pub there.
It's coming back. So it shut down for years, and they're just about to reopen it.
You mean for gigs?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, we're talking like late 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's great. If you wait long enough, things come back around. So in Yorkshire, so obviously your school system had a music program. And how did you pick violin? Or was it picked for you?
It was just we got given a choice of a load of instruments. And I think I'd seen Nigel Kennedy, the British violinist, play. And I fancied having a go. So we got given the choice to play an instrument. So I picked up the violin and started learning when I was 8 years old.
Right, through the school. So...
Yeah,
you're it's not private, right? You're in a class with a bunch of cats learning stuff.
Yeah, so this was like the old Labour in the UK brought in an initiative where you could basically pay a small amount of money and be subsidised by the state to have music lessons, and it'd usually be like three or four of you with one teacher in a small little room. And you'd do a half hour lesson, or sometimes, you know, when you started out and you're just learning 20 minutes and you just learn the basics, and basically that goes on for a year. And if you want to do it the next year, you do it the next year. And we just did that.
And you're saying once a week?
Yeah.
So you probably did a lot of prac, right? Or were you supposed to? Let me ask you about your pad where you grew up. Was there musical instruments in the house?
My parents were always keen for us kids. I got two brothers at home, and they were always keen for us to play music, so they encouraged it. My family is not a musical family. All my family are doctors and pharmacists and IT people now, but they were all always very enthusiastic and encouraging for me to play, gave me the support.
There was instruments in the pad. Like what, a guitar or something?
Like, they bought us, like, instruments through the school. So it was just the instruments. There was always a piano knocking around in our house, as long as I can remember. And my brother played guitar, so there was a guitar lying around. And,
Did you jump on that piano?
Of course.
Okay. Did you have to go through lessons with that?
I tried for a bit, but actually... I didn't do to stick out the lessons of piano so much. I was more interested in just kind of fucking around on it and seeing how it went rather than learning any specific pieces.
Sure. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
First record? Jesus Christ. I can't remember, you know.
I've thought about this so many times.
I've been asked, like, what's the first record? The first memory I have of records was making cassette tapes of The Who.
Ah, okay. Live at Leeds are very famous.
Yeah.
At the university, right?
That's actually one of the first records I listened to, all like a shit ton.
Me and D-Boone love that record. We listened to it a buttload, which I think is bigger than a shit ton, right? I mean, logically, when you think about it. David Yao once like confronted me with that logic challenge, and the buttload is bigger than a shit ton, Mr. Yao. Okay, what about the first gig you went to, Simon?
First gig I went to. So that would have been at the Cockpit in Leeds.
I remember that, Pat. It was made in one of the archways of the railroad viaduct. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's still there. I don't know whether
really bad acoustics. I played there with Jay Masters in the Fog.
Fucking terrible acoustics.
And I think it was owned by one of them fucking beer franchise trips.
Not too indie. No, it was a shit venue. Sounded like shit. Was sweaty as hell. Fucking crap. But amazing at the same time.
Yeah, at least you get to see gigs.
You know, like, yeah, exactly.
Probably they, so, I know for sure. At the Duchess of York, one time I saw that, but it was before I went on stage. I think this Firehose days, and last tour, and I think they're closing up the windows. Like, you know, hey, it's fucking sweaty. Yeah, but we sell more beer, mate. they do this in the U.S. too.
Yeah, man, it's all about selling up here. Fuck the music.
Right. So look. You don't stay on violin very long.
Or do you mean like generally or like when
it might be? Did you move on to other instruments and shit?
Yeah, I started playing. I've always stayed with violin. I've played the violin for all of my life.
Great.
Yeah.
So was it like the stepping stone trip? Oh, okay. So was you? Oh, okay.
But I played bass guitar for a while. I had a kind of stint. Whereas, when I was 16, I was lucky enough to meet this guy, Herbie Flowers.
Shit, I know about Herbie. He's one of the most incredible bassmen ever.
Yeah, love man. So he kind of taught me for a while and mentored me as a bass player. And wow. I kind of learned from him as a mentor. And
how'd that happen, and Simon?
I used to go to this. I've got a really good old friend, and we came up to, like, we were at school together. We made music together. And he used to go to this summer school in Dartington. There's a very nice, fancy hall down in the south of the UK, where they have a beautiful, like, it's an old, you know, one of these old manor houses with this big hall. And it's, I was down there recently, and I learned it was one of the first utopian collectives post-Second World War in the UK. They had a go at having like a utopian community down there for a while. But this hall, and every summer they run a music summer school. So they do 6 weeks, I think it is, of all different classes, people teaching stuff, string quartets, composition, jazz. And Herbie was running a rock kind of band week down there. And my friend Ben went once, and the second year he was like, you got to come with me, you got to come down and do it. So they very kindly gave me a scholarship to go, and I went down and I got to hang with there was about 40 people on the course, and Herbie ran it with Chris Spedding.
Wow.
Just like a load of his cats, and then just we got together, and the whole point of the week was just go off, make form groups, write some songs, and then, you know, if you want a piano on it, tell us and we'll get a pianist to come and join you. You want strings on it, tell us, we'll get a string quartet together and get them to come and play with you.
Fuck.
And over the week we'd put together a show and then perform it at the end of the week.
That's so incredible. That's great. And the whole idea of the mentor and the protege, you know, the student and the teacher, because that kind of got lost, you know.
Yeah, man. I was super lucky because
I seen some of that with the bebop guys, because they had to hire younger guys. But there's something about younger guys playing with older guys that got. Rock and roll, right? They had to market it as a youth thing. But when you get back to music, just being music, no matter what the fucking trip, why not hand down things?
I've always come up with older, like, or been playing with people, like, above my generation. I think it's the best. I've learned from so many people who have told me along the way, from their experiences. And, you know, that's how I know you, is through connecting with other people. Like, I know Belfie through, Dana. I know you had on this show.
Sure.
That crowd.
She's from Oregon, but she lives in Berlin. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
I want to play something you gave me called Murmur.
Cool.
Thank you. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, look! Isn't that good?
Pedro Show. Started that chunk of music off. Simon Goff doing Murmur. And Bronze Age UFO, part A5 of the Volume 2, Lagoon Monster Rubber Mask. Brand new stuff out of Baltimore with Bronze Age UFO. Half of the Mold Omen crew. King Champion Sounds, brand new from Holland. Motto Grotto. Sam Locke Ward. Featuring Dandrew Stevens. Prawn. Here we call them shrimps. Prawn's better because then you know it ain't something little. Yeah, future belongs to the efficient people. Bob Buckle Jr. after that Armistice Day. I think they call it Veterans Day now here. Because it wasn't the war to end all war. There was another one. Fucking assholes. Obama's Prendon. There is nothing outside the text. Wharton Tears after that disturbance. Great drummer man, Wharton Tears had a fun studio. Fun City studio in Manhattan. I got to record Bob Quine, Steve Shelley, Leaving Out. Did Bob Dylan Freeze Out. He's in the Johan. Ideals Be Fucked by 99 Cents. Simon Gough finally with Wooden Islands. Okay, so four strings on the bass, four strings on the violin. Big difference, though.
Other way around, right?
Fourth strings. Yeah, because of the fourths and the fifths. Well, the drama between the strings is much more on the violin. And cello, yeah. I should say. But interesting. And actually, right, the stand-up is a giant violin without a chin part, but two leading fours. Big difference. You clump the notes around each other closer, people, when you're forced. So maybe that's what you want. God, in those days, in the old days, piano, guitar, everybody was in the rhythm section with the drummer. Only the horns and the fucking strings reeds were outside, right? So anyway, interesting how music evolves. You know, we had a bass man on from Ithaca. God, a beautiful guy. And I already forgot his name, but he was talking about problem of academia. Yeah, all music comes from the West, and that's not true, right? Music comes from every place in the world, and we have to almost unlearn that stuff. Nothing wrong with Johann Sebastian Bach, but right, it ain't all him. And then the idea of saying ethnic studies, right? Give me a fucking break. Music is music, right? So, where did you from that summer camp? Did you go back to Yorkshire? Or where'd you go after?
Yeah, so after, like, talking about, I went to the heart of fucking Western music and went and studied at a classical music college for 4 years.
That's all right.
Yeah, so, no, I mean, it's you know, you got to learn somehow. So
yeah.
Yeah, I went and studied classical violin. So in Birmingham.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right, the number two town that nobody knows because... Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's fucking huge, right? But like, it's, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's hard to get a gig there. So, what did you learn about? Okay, here's the dilemma: classical musician, right? You don't get to learn to improvise. Did you have that challenge?
I like learning to play music, and the conservatoire teaches people at a very high level, and it's a great place to study. For me, I struggled there because it wasn't so creative. You're learning to play an instrument, you know, you're kind of learning this craft of playing this instrument to a super high level. But in the classical side of the school, there's no improvisation. There's no making stuff up. There's no, the creative side of it is very, very small. You know, in the contrast, on the jazz side, it's all creating things, making bands, putting together. So I had a bit of crossover with the jazz side. But I also just, you know, was out playing in bands a lot.
Okay, Jerry Goodman?
Sorry?
Jerry Goodman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you aware of him?
No.
Because I saw him on Vishnu Orchestra when he was in that band. It only lasted that 6 months, right? And everybody was playing fucking lead violin in that band. Even Billy Cobham.
Yeah, of course.
But it's kind of the only fusion I like. I wonder why. Because of the drama? Because of the passion?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, I fusion violin, it never hit my heart. Yeah. Like, never
got... Well, what about a cat like Warren Ellis?
Warren Ellis? Warren's been very inspiring to me. Because, you know, for him, it's so obvious that it's about the music. It doesn't matter what he's playing. He's just picking up an instrument and making music. Like, he picks up the guitar, he picks up the keyboard, he picks up the violin, and he fucking does it.
It's great. I think the guitar is a tenor.
Yes, it is.
It's not all the way different. But interesting cat. He also became, after Mick Harvey, Nick Cave's main music cat, right?
Yeah.
So, this idea... Let's go back to the classical thing. You're going to realize this composer's work by being a good operator. right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, but on the other side of it, like a John Coltrane handed, for example, Tommy Flanagan into some chords, right? Giant steps, mm-hmm. right? He'd been practicing for 2 years, right? Into some chords, but he's asking him not to realize, but as a springboard, as a launch pad to you bring.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And the funny thing about classical music is, like, in the best performers of classical music kind of are able to do that within the constraints of the notes that are written by another composer. So they're able to get inside of that and then turn it into a performance that is kind of theirs. And it's kind of like they get to play with the space between the notes and kind of, you know, really turn it into an interpretation, which shows them. And, but to do that, you need to, like, it's such a specific way of playing. And I think the space that you get to in jazz, like when you're improvising, but also not just jazz and other types of improvisation, where you get to, like, show you and come out and perform and be there and be present. It's way more exposed to like what you're doing.
Okay. So it's a little more scary.
Yeah, it can be, I guess, maybe.
right, showing out. You know, you got to have something to say if you're going to open your fucking mouth, right?
Exactly. Yeah, very much so. Okay, get up and play something.
Right. Instead of just getting all buried in the beige. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So what about you starting your own bands?
I mean, I was playing bands since I was 16.
No,
I was
doing your own bands.
My own bands?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really do my own thing. I've always played with other people until this last record.
Like, this record. So then I don't want to get ahead of us, but we'll get to that a little later. Because,
yeah.
That's probably a lot of this music that you gave me is from your most recent thing, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so you did a huge buttload of internship.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to ask other cats to take direction, you got to learn yourself, and you invested a lot of time in that, right?
Exactly. Like, I always had this ethos of, like, I want to surround myself by the best people I can and learn from them. Right?
That's what Miles Davis did, right? Miles knew that he wasn't going to be fucking Diz, but I'm going to have the best guys around me.
Yeah. Just like, surround yourself. When I first moved to Berlin, it was actually the advice. I met this this great double bass player here called Klaus Jenek, and he, I knew him through a connection, like he was one of the few people I kind of had a connection to in Berlin. So I said, can I take you out for a beer and give me some advice about Berlin music scene? How do I make my way here? And he said, find the people who do what you want to do and just be around them as much as you can. You'll start out making coffee for them, but eventually you'll start making things for them, and eventually you'll start doing things with them. And that's exactly what I've always done.
But you know what's a trip, Simon? You asked a German guy, and I've noticed a lot of Auslanders deal with Auslanders in Berlin.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was trippy. Absolutely. That was a little balls out of you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay. We're at the end of the first hour. August 11, 2021, edition Watt Pedro Show special guest Simon Goff. Hold tight for hour two. August 11, 2021, second hour Watt Pedro Show. Doc Pepedro show. Start our second hour off with Simon Goff. A process in the weather of the heart. That's a great title. I love it. He's got an image there. And vary it after that with whatever I want, wherever I am. Yeah, that's optimistic. Victor Timofeev from the Ukraine with me, Sky. Tom Nechion, experimental cat. LA Free Music Society from the 70s, right? Here. Drift Tube. And then finally, Blue from Simon Goff. Okay. Let's continue. Okay, first. Okay, you're going to school in England with that classical stuff, and then you make the decision about Berlin. How did that come about?
Well, I mean, I came over here first to through the summer school. I met this amazing woman, Cassie Birgit Stout. She's an incredible lady, friend of Dana's. She was in Angels of Light with Dana
and Michael. Right?
And yeah, exactly. So she.
Actually, Michael's from up the hill here. There's a hill called Palos Verdes, just west of Pedro. And his family disowned him and shit, but that's where he's originally from.
Right.
Anyway, go on, I'm sorry.
But yeah, she invited me over to Berlin in 2010 back and to work with her on a film soundtrack. And through that, I met Mr. Roderick Miller, who was the keys player in Dana's band, Bee and Flower. And they needed a violinist for a European tour. And he was like, do you want to come on tour with us? So I said, sure, why not? And it took 2 years to actually happen, to figure out the logistics of the tour and everything. But in 2012, I went on tour with Dana and those guys. And simultaneously, I finished studying in Birmingham. And one of the composition tutors there wrote some music for a contemporary dance work that was being made in Berlin and Hamburg, and he asked me to play violin and viola in it. So in the space of 6 months, I did 2 European tours and created this dance piece in Berlin, and then toured that as well. So all of this kind of, I met some people, I got to know the city, liked it, decided to move over here and give it a shot.
Okay. And, coming into a music scene cold, like, well, you had a little intro because the invite from the summer school experience, but finding your way, this is something Coward Watt has never done. He stayed in his Pedro town and played with the guy he grew up with. Right? And it just fucking amazes me how people got the balls to go and do shit like that.
Man, it's just opportunity. You know, I feel like all I did was, there was a chance there, and I it felt right to take it, so I took it, and I knew a handful of people, and you just go, see what the fuck happens.
Well, it seems like what you're kind of saying is, it's a lot of it's about people.
Yeah, very much.
And you know, people ask me about the old days, they say, well, it was about people, and my guess is these days are probably a lot about people too. Everybody thinks it's other shit, right? It's gear or connects, or where you were born, how you were born, when you were born. But I think at the end of the day, it's people.
Always.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's talk about this. Let's play Astana.
Astana, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't want to pronounce it. Juanfer Pedro Show. That chunk of music. Simon Goff with Estrada. And then Manuel Armida. Mexico City guy lives up in Yellowknife, Northwest Territory, Canada. Lucia Encorvada. And then Midwife, brand, well, hey, it just came out, but it's called 2020, so maybe it's a little older. Have a Nice Life. Right after that, There Is No Food. Yeah, some happy tunes. Yeah. And Veil, finally, Simon Goff. So tell me about this new stuff, Simon.
The record, Veil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it came out in April this year. I've been working on it for about 2 years. It's the culmination of my move to Berlin, basically. I took that chance to... I wanted to move over here to kind of have a reset. I was playing in a band in Leeds, and I was known more in Leeds as a bass player than a violinist, really. And I just finished studying, and I wanted to move to Berlin to kind of give myself a chance to find my own thing on the violin and make that my instrument. So moved over here, and since then I've been searching to try and, like, what the fuck is it if you use the violin and don't want to play classical music or don't want to play chamber music? What is it if you want to, like, make post-rock kind of music or, like, you know, ambient music? And how can I work with guitar pedals and process the violin? Just find my way with it. You know, I've played bass, I've played bands, and I play the violin. What is it if all those stuff goes together? So I just pushed through it and kept making music. And then Veil is the culmination of that exploring and that journey.
You know, there is one angle on the violin you didn't discuss. Over here, it would be like way up front. It's people like Papa John Creech, right? Bluegrass, Appalachian.
Sure, yeah.
Which actually has roots, I think, in England and Ireland and Scotland.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you ever explore that stuff?
Yeah, I played a lot of folk music back in the UK. Again, it was this thing that it's always been super weird because I love the violin. I absolutely love the violin as an instrument. I think it's an incredible instrument. I think it's so just crazy how perfectly balanced everything has to be for that to make a sound. But I've never connected with the music, the violin, most people play on the violin.
Ah, okay. Because caricature, kind of kitsch.
Yeah, exactly. So I always felt like, you know, classical I love and stuff like this, but when I was playing it, it didn't make me tick. And then, like, folk, there are some amazing folk bands and folk artists, but playing it didn't make me tick. So I was in this position where I knew I wanted to play the violin, but I didn't know what kind of music I wanted to play.
Ah, but you knew you had to redefine it for yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And maybe that's what we all should do on our instruments. I mean, you learn and you stick some other... I'm using a little Yiddish here, right? Little sticks from other cats to do the gigs, right? But maybe finding your own voice, all that combination of different stuff, you end up building that little scene and adding to it, right? It's a lifelong journey.
Okay. I mean, you know this orchestra, Brian Eno and, what's his name? Cornelius Cardio, I think, was involved in it. But the Portsmouth Orchestra, where they got all the, like, I don't know whether you couldn't be in it if you were a professional musician.
Right.
Or if you were a professional musician, then you had to play an instrument
something
that you didn't
know how to do. Yes.
Yeah.
It's probably the best sound ever.
Exactly.
But I look, the concepts, they're trying to shake yourself awake, shake ourselves awake. Yeah. Because humans, we get into these cruise control, cookie cutter Xerox machine things, and we're not breathing, our hearts. Or we might be, but we can't tell. So with this record here, and this is your first record where you're composing all the music yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so
just about coming to Berlin then.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the first time I've really put stuff down in a way. And it was also like, I'd made one record before, but it was the product of another dance piece that I made. So the music, I'd scored this dance piece. But this was the first time I was like, okay, I'm going to make a record. I'm going to just write some tunes and see what happens. And And yeah, it's like, you know, there's loads of shit in it from when you don't write for a reason apart from what's inside of you, you bring up all the stuff of your, you know, that you've dragged along with you forever.
Right. Now, was it kind of a, you know, at the end of the day, a collection of songs, or was it one big piece?
It's a collection of songs for sure. Like I very much kind of attacked this album in a way of like, I wanted to write, it's weird, I wanted to write my pop music. That's why they're short pieces and stuff like this, because I wanted to write songs like a band to make a record.
Ah, virtual.
Yeah.
Why not, man? That's what the studio's for, right? It's almost like a potter's wheel, right? You throw the clay on there and then...
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And then at the end of the day, people hear stuff out the speaker, so you can tell them, hey, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Nobody gives a shit what's going on behind.
That's right. Sort of like cooking, but I guess you don't have to worry about making people sick. Or maybe you do. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. It's 2021. Dish and Watt Peterson, special guest Simon Goff. Hold tight, power freak. August 11, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt Peterson Show. Juan from Pedro show. Start off the third hour with the bit. This is Aiden Baker, Simon Goff, Thor Harris. I had him on the show last year. Great drummer man in Austin. What's your connect with him there, Simon?
What's my connect with Thor? Like, same crew. Like
the Angel of Light stuff. Oh, yeah, exactly. Of course. Stupid one.
Yeah.
Fucking slow learning a lot. Okay, now I understand, of course. But anyway, this is beautiful. And it looks like it was a proj. This different than your record, right? This is some kind of power trio?
This record, the records with Aiden and Thor are the easiest records I've ever made in my life. The first one we made was the first... I had met Thor a couple of times because I've been to Swan shows. And we'd hung out at Swan shows and got to know each other and, you know, we got on well. He made me one of his viola instruments. And then he was coming through Berlin with his band Thor and Friends.
Yeah.
And he said he asked if I wanted to join them on stage, if I'd play violin. You know, when Thor and Friends go through towns, they just ask anybody to play with them.
Yeah, pick up.
And jump on stage. Exactly. Yeah. So I joined him on stage to play violin, and Aiden also knew Aiden, so he asked Aiden if Aiden would be up for playing guitar.
Right.
And flute, I believe, yeah. And then I think I had actually said to Aiden he should ask Thor to play drums on a Nadja record, which is Aiden's band.
Of course, he was on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so, and then he said, actually, I proposed to Thor that we do a recording, the three of us.
Right.
I was like, sure, why not? So I was working at this, a studio, I was helping this guy, Martin Eder, who's a painter here in Berlin, helping him out with his studio, so I had access to this room. So we just rocked up, and in 3 hours, we just improvised a load. Before going to the gig, recorded it, then went to the gig, played the Thor and Friends show, and didn't think much else of it, really. I thought that was a nice improv session. I didn't, to be honest, at the time, didn't feel like we had captured so much stuff. And then Aiden just, like, listened to the whole thing and cut out some sections of the improv. And it was great.
Like so Miles Smiles edit stuff.
Yeah, exactly. No overdubs.
All
just,
killer, just no filler. In. Right.
Yeah.
So in a way, it was like a gig in front of a microphone.
Yeah, very much so. We recorded it, and then we mixed it in a day and released it.
Yeah, I bet you. That's kind of like the old bebop days, right? When they just went for jams. And, I should tell people what else we heard. Track 2, live San Francisco, August 1st, 2019, Tullum and the Rova Saxophone Quartet. And then Red Robin, which was part of the same. Aiden Baker, Simon Goff, Thor Harris. So Aiden gave these babies titles?
Yeah, so that came around. Christopher Michael Hefner, the artist who is a good friend of all of ours, and... Aiden suggested we use one of his pieces for a cover. Right. So we had a look through and I picked like the stuff I really liked. And the first record we did together, this No Place, and No Place was the name he had given to this series of of drawings he did of this house. So we used this house as the cover. And then I did some research on No Place. I just typed into Google and did some searching around. And I actually found that No Place was a mistranslation of Utopia, and it's a little village in the northeast of England.
Wow, the other side of that Herbie Flowers town.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, me and Larry, we were talking about Larry Mullins, and we were on tour with Taft Alcohol in Arizona, and we're driving towards, I think it was between Tucson and Las Vegas, and there's a town with, not a town, it's just a sign, it's called Nowhere.
It's great.
You gave me this, is this from the same thing, the chapel?
Yeah, Tin Chapel, yeah.
Okay, here we go. something philosophical behind it. last music for this edition, people, The Chapel from Aidan Baker, Simon Goff, Dar Harris. And then Carl 2000 with the, now it's D-E, you know, I was thinking of Berlin and Germany, right? So there's this preposition, right? Article, right? Article, I should say. Der,
yeah.
Das, and D, right? So this is Der, sure, with about 30 R's. And then we have, finally, Thor Harris, Simon Goff, Aidan Baker with Gate. And people, this ain't the gate to your yard. This is like how you spread your legs as you're walking.
It's actually the thing that a horse bites onto.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask you, where did you record your Simon Goff record?
That I recorded a mixture of home in my, I have a studio at home, and then I work at a studio called Voxton in the north of Berlin, and I did a bunch of recording there as well.
You ever been to Tempelhof where Larry works with Eagle?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know Ingo.
Yeah, Ingo's fucking, and a bass dude too, you know.
Yeah.
Bitchin' brother. Oh, we've done some tributes to the Stooges, and Larry's been working there with him. And he does all kinds of stuff there. Tempelhof, yeah. Right? Candy Bomber, that's it. So, you record at home. So, do you do a lot of stuff where people send you, hey, would you put some violin on this? And then you,
sure.
Okay. So, you use the internet not just for spreading bullshit, but for also trading files.
Yeah, sometimes.
No. I just try to tell people that, you know, you can do some positive things with the internet, not just the bullshit ones. And so, yeah, because if you think about it, there probably ain't a lot of cats working the violin out there. So you kind of, if you know, especially if you can learn quick and improvise and have your own thing, probably in demand a little bit.
Yeah, man, you can be. Like, there's a few people around doing
You were talking about bass. You got on bass, and you probably did it to get gigs. You know, in the old days, it was all about that. No one wanted to rock the fucking bass. But if you got into it, there's a lot of work.
It's my mate picked up a guitar, so I picked up a bass.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah. Well, a lot of guys, I remember Tony Mamone telling me about Peru, you know, Tom sure. Herman and Tim Wright. Always switching guitar. No one wanted to do it, so they just get Tony here. I'll do it. I like Family Man. I don't think Family Man ever, Barrett ever played guitar. You know, I'm going to do that. And actually, I meet young people now. Bass is their fucking first instrument. Like, yeah, violin was your first one.
There are some crazy, like, you see kids playing bass now, and it's a different instrument to... The kind of bass playing that Herbie taught me to do is not the kind of bass playing a lot of kids are doing.
I know, but you know what? That might be kind of lame. But they have to learn that on their own. But no, these guys who say the bass is a guitar with four strings, I want to fuck with that. I want to say, no, the bass is a drums with four strings.
Yeah, man, totally.
You into like that?
The bass is not a guitar. Like, if you always know when a guitarist picks up a bass.
Okay.
Because it doesn't sound like a bass. The bass is the closest instrument to the bass should be the kick drum.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. that's why, like, I loved playing it because it's so different to the violin. The violin sits on top of everything. It just, floats around
like
on top of it.
Like cymbals.
Exactly, yeah. It is. It's the cymbals of the band. And then the bass is like the kick drum. It's got a power
maybe
on through.
Sometimes we're a little bit like toms, but we're definitely not a fucking snare drum. Unless you're doing the Larry Graham thing with the popping, right? And that probably comes from rockabilly guys slamming the string against the neck of their stand-up.
Yeah, man, that the way of playing the dual bass, just like...
Well, they couldn't carry drummers, that's what I heard, because most of those vans yet, so you're still touring in station wagons.
Yep.
Coltrane, he liked country squires.
Yeah.
But still had to tie the dog has to the top of the fucking boat. That's why Leo Fender came up with the precision. You know why it's called the precision bass?
No.
Because it's got frets.
Go on. Right.
Yeah, because your intonation, right? Leo didn't play. He had buddies who played. It was hard to fucking move it around. It's all through pragmatism.
Yeah.
Man, it's beautiful talking music with you, Simon.
That's really. Likewise.
What's your next plan? Oh, well, first, let's tell people they can find you on the internet.
You can find me website, simongoff.com.
And, okay, spell it.
Socials.
We got to spell it. SIMONGOFF.com, people. Okay, yeah. And what's your next plan?
Next plan, currently, right now I'm working on, I've had some friends of mine do reworks of my record. And so we're just gathering those together, like remixes, but a bit more involved. And yeah, so we're going to release some remixes of the record. I'm hopefully going to make another record with Aidan and Thor soon. And I'm working on another record of my own, but this time it's some music I wrote for a dance piece that I'm going to turn into some kind of new take on a ritual to renewal, rebirth, and spring. So I'm working with a friend of mine here, Sam Potter, and we're going to... Yeah, take this music I wrote, which was themed around the idea of renewal, and turn it into a record and a live performance.
Primavera.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a bitchin' idea. It's been a big honor to have you on the show. When you get this new stuff done, will you come back on the show? We can listen to it and talk about it.
Sure, man. It'd be my pleasure.
Thank you so much, Sam. People, it's been on August 11, 2021 edition of Wat Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.